All right, Jim, today we're talking about how to balance your relationship with your career.
Oh, I got
to
take notes. I have no idea.
Yeah, maybe that's you're not great, the guy
yeah,
for this.
I'm not the guy for this segment. I'm a cautionary tale on this segment. I got a lot of people are going to tell you. There's going to be some women in the comments being like, this guy is the least qualified person in the world.
The ultimate do as I say, yeah. not as I do episode.
That I could do. That yeah. I could give you the advice on how to not do this.
Yeah. Well, this all stems from Barack Obama coming out and saying that there is a genuine tension in his marriage over pressure from Michelle to stay out of politics. So he did an interview with the New Yorker basically saying that his plan was to be like every other president where you leave office and you don't really comment on the next administration. But because Trump has kind of been reckless and wild, he has felt like a responsibility and a duty to represent the Democratic Party and talk about him. And at home, Michelle is sort of like, you know, you said you were done with this and now we're being dragged back in. And it was very candid about saying, like, it really has put a strain on our marriage, which obviously this is the highest level. But a lot of people, I think, deal with this with their career versus their 100%. Life at home.
100%. I mean, look, I think Obama is in a unique position because he was one of the youngest presidents we've ever had. Mm. And I think when you've had when you finish two terms and you're still that young, that's kind of unprecedented in modern age, at least. I mean, mm-hmm. look at Reagan, look at, you know, Bush, like these were not young men. And then Biden, obviously, and even Trump, when he finishes office, these are going to be elderly people, whereas Obama was still quite a young person. So it's not unreasonable to think he would have kept his hand in the game. And I think something like that, like, you know, if you love politics and you love that stuff and people want to hear what you have to say. I mean, when Alexander Hamilton walked away from politics, people were still hanging on his every word and trying mm-hmm. to figure out who's he voting for? What does he have to say about things? He still had a tremendous amount of credibility. So I think Obama among Democrats has a tremendous amount of credibility and people want to know what he has to say. They want to know what Michelle has to say. I mean, you know, they may not have invited him on to call her daddy, but they've invited Michelle. Like, Michelle has had a lot to say to a lot of people. She's got a podcast. So
would love to see Obama on there. Well, yeah. Well, you know, Alex Cooper, yeah.
Alex Cooper. Went.
One time I was so banging this girl in college.
It's been great. So like when you were president, that's wild, by the way. By the way, did you guys see SNL? That they just murked the Alexes on SNL.
The vocal fry on that,
big,
I was like, I know a guy who could have slid right into this
skit. Oh, I was loving it. Oh my God. Sorry, that was I had to mention that at some point. I had to give a shout out to my fellow New Yorkers there on that one. But yeah, look, work-life balance, you know, someone retiring. I mean, it's a mixed bag. You know, I've told the story in the past that when my dad retired, my mom was still alive and my mom was like, you got to get this man out of this house. Like, you got to give him something to do. I said, for better or for worse, I did not say for lunch. Mm-hmm. I cannot have this guy doddering around all day getting in my way. But I do think there are people, you know, who have careers that are so unbelievably demanding, like the presidents, like being a trial lawyer, like being a surgeon, that you just don't have a lot of room in your life for anything else. And then if you have a partner that you've said to them, hey, someday it's not going to be this crazy. And then it just becomes a different kind of crazy where you're now, instead of, you know, being in the Oval Office and having to deal with things, you're, you know, you're being sought after as a guest, or you're being sought after as a speaker, or you're writing books, or you're doing all this. He's been a very prolific post-president. Like a lot of, you know, Jimmy Carter some people say that Jimmy Carter probably made more change and it was a more effective politician after his presidency than he was during his presidency. There's a lot of presidents that you could actually say that about. So I think that it's understandable that would put some strain on a marriage. I think you have to look at like how this person was advertised to their partner. Mm-hmm. I mean, you gotta love the person you're married to, not who you imagine they would someday be. I think we have to be a little more honest with ourselves about who we are and also who we're married to. I think relationships, it's normal to think, oh, someday this person will have more time, or they'll be less into activity. Like if someone made it to the presidency, if someone made it to partner at a law firm, if someone made it to the highest levels of financial institutions as a trader or as a quant person, you know, the chances of that person then being like, yeah, now I'm just going to go fishing.
Right.
And read like novels. Like, you, no, you're not. You'll do that for like a month. And then you'll like, I get a lot of great ideas once in a while where I'm like, I'm going to take a week off and just do nothing. I'm going to do a staycation. I'm going to train jujitsu. I'm going to go to the gym. Mm-hmm. I'm going to sit in the sauna. I'm going to cook. I'm going to do it. And then I do that. And then it's like 8 a.m.
Like, what do I'm do like, the okay, other 23 hours?
I did
hours,
a jiu-jitsu you know? Class. Yeah. I worked out. I sat in the sauna. I did a cold plunge and I cooked. It's 8 a.m. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'll just pop into the office for a minute, you know? And like, it really is. Like, you just like having your hand in something. And I don't know. See, I gave up on that a long time ago. I tend to think work-life balance might be a myth, you know, in mm-hmm. certain professions. I think there's certain people that are passionate about their work. And their work becomes part of how they define themselves. And, you know, there's a quote from Steinbeck. I think it's from, God, I don't remember what it's from. It might be from, it's a Steinbeck quote. I know that. Where he said, I don't like work, but I like what's in the work, which is the opportunity to figure out who you are. Mm. And I see work as an expression of who I am. It's an expression of my God-given talents and the talents I've cultivated.
Joseph Conrad. Misattributed. Everyone thinks it's...
Okay. I thought it was Steinbeck.
It's Steinbeck,
from
yeah. It's actually Joseph Conrad.
Is it from Heart of Darkness? Joseph Conrad. Good to know. Okay. See? Spreading misinformation on the internet since 2025. There it is, gang. But yeah, I mean, that's the nature of work. I think work can be an expression of who you are.
And I think... Do you think it's more about the profession, or I think it's like a personality trait oftentimes. I don't think you stumble into a lawyer or a surgeon or a politician. It's already who you are.
Well, I think it's an instrument for your God-given talents or mm-hmm. the talents you've chosen to cultivate or some combination of the two, right? Like I was always a strong extemporaneous speaker. I was a good debater in high school. That was my natural proclivity. So I found a profession that amplifies and highlights my natural proclivities and something that I enjoy doing.
So then you want to do it all the time.
Yeah, so then you just want to keep
doing
it.
So do you think, I don't know, let's say you didn't have the resources or life to go to law school mm-hmm. and that never happened.
Yeah.
So you ended up working a regular job. Do you think you would not be as work oriented?
No, I probably would have. I would be like a really, really chatty salesperson or I would be an insurance salesperson. I would be some job where I used my extemporaneous. I'd be a professor.
But do you think you would enjoy like teaching 100-hour week still?
It depends on the nature of the profession. I mean, I think I made a tactical error in choosing a job where the work is literally never done. Yeah. Like I remember saying to my older son when he went to law school, when he left, you know, he started law school. I said, you know, that feeling at the end of the day when everything's finished, like we'll finish recording this episode and then we'll turn off the cameras and we'll turn off the lights and we're done. And the studio will be cleaned up and it's finished. And I said to my son, you know that feeling at the end of the day when you're done at work and you're finished and you can put it down and go home? You'll never have that feeling ever again as a mm-hmm. lawyer. Like law school is a pie eating contest where the prize is more pie. Like you will just every night do what I do, which is at some point I go, fuck this. I got to go home. I just got to go home. And I just
That's
leave.
The end.
Like
yeah.
I just leave yeah. because there's always more. Like I could always spend 10 more hours on that case at that moment. Like every single one of my, I have about 12 active cases right now. Any one of them I could spend every day for the rest of this week just focused on that case exclusively, and there'd still be more to do. So it's just a matter of saying, okay, this is done enough. Like this is done enough. I've done what I could do for the day. It's time to stop now. But it's hard to do that. It's also hard when you're tied to the billable hour. Like the thing I have to sell is the billable hour. And so when you go, okay, I can, like, I like to split wood. I have a house in the Catskills. It's where I like to go on the weekends. One of the things I enjoy doing physically is splitting wood. And I have tons of down trees. I own 33 acres, so I have a lot of down trees. I have a fireplace. I love having a fire, so I go through a lot of wood. So I enjoy the physical act. It's a good workout. It's good stress relief. And I like swinging an axe and splitting wood. And sometimes I find myself thinking, if I go and split wood for an hour, that's $1,000.
Is that worth it?
Like yeah. I paid $1,000 to split wood. But see, you can make yourself insane that way because you start to go like, okay, I can go out to lunch with a friend for an hour and waste $1,000 of billable time, or I could just eat at my desk really quick while I'm looking at emails, and then I don't lose any of that money or any of that time. And you can start to make yourself a little bit crazy that way. So it really, choosing, if you're the kind of person who loves what they do and is good at what they do and has an abundance of people that want to pay you to do that job, finding a job that has all those characteristics is dangerous, because you will make a great living and you will not make much of a life, because you won't have much of anything outside of the office. Summer is almost upon us, gang, and now is the time to get dialed in on your health. Look, I've always said it, you gotta stay top-notch healthy and measure what matters, and that's where Merrick Health comes in. Merrick Health offers you the four-pillar plan, one-on-one health coaching, individualized approaches to everything, lab work and blood panels. They're using real data and paying attention. This is not just blind, flying blind stuff. This is real deal numbers and tracking your metrics. Direct medical provider access, no more waiting around in waiting rooms. This is a simple process of working with a physician who's really going to pay attention to what it is that you need individually based on your blood panels and your goals. And one-stop shopping convenience, Merrick can help get you dialed in with the peptides, TRT. Sign up today, merrickhealth.com/Sexton. Offer code Sexton for 10% off. We are very excited to be part of the Merrick Health team.
But also, I feel like it's just a matter of recognizing that about yourself or recognizing that about your partner, because I don't necessarily think it's a bad thing.
I don't think it's a bad thing because I find my life fulfilling.
Right. I guess if you're desiring a wife and kids.
My assistant, Teresa, is a great example. Like, Teresa absolutely loves doing stuff. Like, she does stuff.
I just do
like
things.
Like, every Monday, I'll be like, what did you do this weekend? And it's always like, oh, we went to Bethel Woods and went to this concert. And then we went to, they had a food truck festival at this place. Her and her husband, Richie, like, and their kids who are adults and married and one's engaged. Like, they go and do stuff.
Oh,
like,
God,
and
they, bless them, but no thank
but they
you, bro.
Do, they do so much stuff and they love it. Like, they love it. And they come and they have all these stories to tell. They have a very close-knit family. I went to her daughter's wedding recently and it was like such a wonderful. They have all these friends. And I was just sitting there going like, this is a totally different life than mine. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't like,
what's a friend?
I don't like doing stuff like that. And I don't, like, the fact I went to this wedding was a testament to how much I love Teresa, because I was like, oh my God, like, the thought of going to anybody's wedding, like, is painful.
Awful.
To me. Cause I just, yeah. I don't like doing stuff, you know.
Yep.
I like doing nothing. But I think that there are people who just go, oh yeah, your job is a thing you do and you do. And she does her job very well, very passionately, very focused, very good at her job. Everybody, all of my clients are like, oh my God, we love Teresa. She gets more presents than I do. People give her presents. People bring her snacks. I had a client come in the other day and they brought something from this bakery. And I was like, oh, did they bring me food? She's like, oh no, she always brings me this particular thing. And I was like, look at you. Like, the clients like her so much.
Yeah.
And by the way, she has tremendous power in the office, because she'll say to me, like, this person called. I'm like, fuck them. And then she's like, oh, this person called. Can you call them back? They're so nice. And I'm like, all right.
God damn it. Yeah,
back,
fine.
You know? But it really is like, she knows. Oh, yeah, no, she's out the door. She's it's time. Yeah. Work is over. If I needed her, of course, she's going to stay late or whatever. But she really sees it as, no, work is a thing you do so that you can go and have your life and fund your life and enjoy your life, which is what really matters. We just have different passions. And that's her passion. And my passion is my work. And I think you know, the freedom is in knowing who you are and being able to fully embrace it. And I think in relationship, you have to be able to be honest with yourself and with your partner about what's your passion. Like, what will my ex-wife said to me, you will never find anything you love as much as the law. No person, no task, nothing, no hobby.
Jiu-jitsu. Did she say that though?
Jiu-jitsu is the closest I've ever come. Jiu-jitsu, when I really got into jiu-jitsu about 18 years ago, it was distracting in the way a lover is. Like, I would be sitting at my desk and I'd be thinking about, like, you know, how do I sink that choke? Or like, well, which, if I try to pass that guard from this direction. And I found myself thinking like, oh, this is so nice. It really takes my head out of my work. And it's very rare that something does that.
So to be insanely reductive here, let's say you have one of these one of these careers that's really demanding. I think about this a lot with athletes. I see athletes who their wife or baby mama or girlfriend is a distraction. And then there are the ones who are their rock and their foundation and their support.
Yeah, I do a lot of the divorces.
Which do you think is like, I'm of the school of thought, like have your career and then try to have your marriage after it. Now, something like you could do it forever.
But I think, I think in genius, there's madness. And I think that to love someone is to love that person. And I think that if this person, like anything can be an art, mm-hmm. like anything can be your art, you know, and your art comes from within you. It's your passion. It's part of you. I think I would be an expression of this. Even if I wasn't practicing law, mm. I would do this or I would do something. I'd be teaching somewhere. Like I need to show up and get this stuff out. I don't know. It's just something in me. I think athletes, like if you marry an athlete, you know this person has an obsession. They mm-hmm. wouldn't be at the level that they're at if they didn't have an obsession. And so to marry that person or be in a relationship with that person and then go, you know, why are you so obsessed with this sport? It's like, that's so unfair. Like, it's so unfair to do that to somebody. And I think that's what you have to realize is that you have to, you know, the hardest thing in the world is to become yourself, like to truly become who you are. And I think that's a very challenging thing for people. It takes a long time to accept who you are and to figure out who you are and what really makes you happy. I don't think sheer power of will can make you feel differently. You feel how you feel. You can apologize for your feelings, but you feel how you feel. And mm-hmm. I think it is terribly unfair to try to get somebody who's been obsessed with a sport or a career or a vocation or art. And part of what you loved about them was their passion for this thing or the fruits of their labors or some combination of the two. And then to say, but why are you so obsessed? It's like, look, if I wasn't obsessed, I wouldn't be where I am. Like, I would not have the career I have. I would not have written the books. I would not be talking to this screen. I would not be where I am if I was not obsessed. Like, you have to be a little insane. You have mm-hmm. to be. I was a little insane. I continue to be a little insane. And if you're not, I don't think you're going to make incredible things. I think you have to be a little insane.
So, to wrap up, is it worth risking that you might end up with the partner who is bothering you about your obsession for the chance that they are your foundation or rock? Or do you think you should maybe steer clear of distractions and potential romance if you've got a real opportunity to kill it at work?
Gosh, that's a great question. I don't know. I wouldn't want to answer that for anybody else.
Yeah, it is a case by case.
I wouldn't want to answer that for anybody else. I think it's always good to try to bet on love. I think love is important. And I think that if you can find connection and love with another person, that's a great thing. I also think that there's tremendous value in loving what you do. You know, we spend more time at work than we do with our loved ones. At least most people do. Most people spend 5 days a week looking forward to two. I think that's a very weird ratio. Like, I can honestly say that's not my life. Like, I enjoy my work. I enjoy the majority of my time is spent doing something I genuinely enjoy doing and I'm genuinely good at and also happen to get paid to do, which is great. Like, but it's in that order of importance. Like, it really is that I love it, I'm good at it, and I get paid for it. Like, it's mm-hmm. in that order of importance. And I think, you know,
maybe that's what matters, though. You know, like if you know someone is just doing it for the money and you have a bunch of money, it's like, come home and be with your kids versus I know that he loves it, so I'm not going to bother him.
Yeah.
Or she.
But I also think even the person who, like, I represent a lot of people who have more money than they could ever possibly spend and even their grandchildren will ever be able to possibly spend. And they still work with such dedication and focus. And I think it's worth talking about to your family, to a therapist, about what's going on there. Like, cause there, I'm very honest about the fact that I'm in therapy. I enjoy being in therapy. Shout out to Kate. It's my therapist. and I talk to her a lot about, like, when am I working cause I'm passionate about my work? And when am I working cause I'm hiding from something? Mm. Like, there are times where work is my favorite narcotic. Where something hurts to think about or to experience, and work, I feel like I'm in control. Like, when other things in my life feel out of control or scary, it's really easy to throw myself into my work. I feel powerful. I feel good at it. You know, when my sons were younger and we would go through challenges, I've talked before about, you know, I did an interview recently with Paul on We Need to Talk. You can find it on YouTube. And I talk about one of the questions he asks, because his show is about conversation, is he talks about what's the most important conversation or one of the most powerful conversations you've ever had. And in the episode, I talk in some detail about a conversation I had with my younger son, who I've had some real struggles with in terms of us just not getting each other. Like, we're really, like, you ever want to have a challenge in life? Try navigating the characteristics of your ex-husband or ex-wife that you found difficult to navigate in your ex-husband or ex-wife, and having to navigate them in your children, who you love. Mm-hmm. And like, you go, okay, I can't quit this. I can't divorce this. Like, I have to figure this out. I have to figure this out. And I have to let this person be themselves, and I have to be myself, and we have to figure this out. And I talk about in that episode a conversation I had with my son where, you know, we just could not get each other. Like, he was comparing me to an imaginary perfect father, and I was comparing him to like an imaginary perfect son. And we were both setting ourselves up for tremendous failure, because I was never going to be as good as his imaginary father, and he was never going to be as good as my imaginary son. And it was like, okay, but do you know I love you? Like, do you know I love you? Like, do you feel my love? Because it's important to me. Like, I really do love you. I don't always know how to navigate you. I don't always get you. I don't always know how to bridge the distance between us, but I love you. I know I love you, and I want you to know I love you. And so help me figure out how to make you feel loved by me, because that's important to me. Like, I don't want you to not feel my love. And I think if you can show up in relationships that way, I think sometimes in therapy, like when I was in that challenging moment with my son, I was billing a lot of hours because I just felt so out of control. Like, I didn't know how to fix this thing. I wanted to fix it so bad. I wanted to get it right. And I actually did the worst thing you could do, which I was like, okay, I'm not going to talk to him. I'm just going to be really busy at work. And I had to force myself to go, no, you got to, like, this isn't that you love your job. This is that you're hiding. Like, you're hiding from this. Like, addiction, I think, could be defined as anything you do to get away from feeling what you would have felt if you'd done nothing at all. And like, a lot of times when we're like, I need a drink, or I want to get high, or I want to go to work right now, or it's that, like, I don't want to feel what I'm feeling right now. Mm-hmm. Like, this is uncomfortable. I'm uncomfortable. And so I think you have to ask yourself, like, is that what this is about? Like, and I don't know Barack Obama. You know, I don't know if this is that he just loves the game of politics and he wants to move the dial forward. You know, I Dan Barber, who's the head chef at Blue Hill Stone Barns and who's an amazing Michelin starred chef and a brilliant writer. He wrote a book called The Third Plate. He's really one of those like agricultural minds. He once was quoted in an interview saying that if the things you could accomplish, if the things you're working to accomplish could be accomplished in your lifetime, you're thinking small.
Say that one more time.
If the things you're working towards could be accomplished in your lifetime, you're thinking too small. Mm-hmm. Like, he wants to, like Martin Luther King, like, I'm not going to get there with you, but I want to move the dial forward. Like, right. I genuinely believe, whatever you think about his politics, I think Barack Obama legitimately sees himself as someone who wants to try to make the world a better place. Like, if he was just purely self-interested, he could have played the hand differently. Mm-hmm. I think he genuinely has a vision for what he thinks the world should be. You might disagree with that vision, but I think he's sincere in wanting to move the world in that vision, and knowing he won't be there. Like, he's planting seeds under, you know, of a tree that he will not ever feel the shade of. Mm-hmm. Like, but that's what he wants to do. I think if it's that, that's different. But if it's, I don't know how to be home. I don't know how to calm down. I don't like how I feel, because then I have to start feeling feelings and thinking about things that I'm not comfortable thinking and feeling about. That's something you got to work on. And that's something that I think you need to work on if that's what's going on with you. I try to remind myself or stay focused. Am I working right now like this because that's the work demands it, and I've got a case and it's important, and I'm like I smell blood in the water like a shark and I'm excited? Or is this that there's something going on that I don't want to feel, and this is easier to just numb it out with work? I still try to do that every single day to figure out which of those things is going on. I got like a 50-50 mix of how well and accurate I am at that.
Well, you added another job to the
throw
on your plate, so
throw another one. I have to. Yeah, that's great. That was the solution.
That's exactly
to that
what you
problem.
Needed. Yeah,
yeah, it's great. That's like, you know what? I'm going to cut back on drinking beer. I'm going to hit the whiskey more. Like, that's smart. Well
now
done.
You got 100,000 people saying, "I need you're wrong about this, and I need more of that." Let me see your fucking tattoos.
Yeah, that's a fact.